Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins a bit less than halfway down the omit, 18 lines from the top. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance in our margin, where we have one of the special features of the Shas Ozer, the marked Gemaras, the nosei, the topic heading. And we've written briefly, She'elas Rabbi Zera, we will open with Rabbi Zera's question, Tokfa Echad Bifanenu, as opposed to our Mishnah, where two people were holding onto a talis, we have a case where someone is holding onto a talis, onto a garment, and someone else comes and grabs it in our presence. A double underline marking will appear very shortly, and it's explained under our mivne, under our structural note. The double underline represents shlavim, stages, levarer, to clarify alma medubar b'shelas Rabbi Zera. What is Rabbi Zera exactly asking about? In other words, we have a question, but the details of the question aren't clear. So it will take a few lines of the Gemara to clarify that. So now we turn to the Gemara. Boy, Rabbi Zera. Tokfa echad bifonenu mahu. Someone grabbed a garment held by someone else in our presence. What is the din? Well, hechidomi, what are the circumstances of the question? E deshosik, if when the grabber grabs the talis, the original possessor remains silent, adaye odilei. That silence is tantamount to conceding to the grabber that it is his. He's admitting to him that it's his. V'i dekotzavach, and if the original party that was holding it screams in protest, my havelei lemevad. So what else could he have done? The fact that someone is grabbing it doesn't indicate any possibility that the grabber is the owner of it, has any legitimate holding on it. When the original owner, the original possessor is screaming, hey, what are you doing grabbing away my thing? So what is Rabbi Zera asking about? What is the case where there's room to ask a question? So, lo, tzricha, no, Rabbi Zera's question is necessary to be raised, the shosik meikara, where the original party, upon being the victim of a grabber, he remains silent. The hadar tzavach, and then after a while, he starts to scream. He raises his voice in protest. My. How do we look at that? Mi de ashtik, from the fact that initially he was silent, doye oidilei, that equals, that's tantamount to his conceding, to admitting that it's the other parties. Dilma, or possibly kevan dekot sova hashta, since he is screaming and protesting now, igloi milsa, that reveals to us retroactively, the shosig meikora, the initial silence at the beginning, sovar, he was figuring, ha kachazu le rabbanan, the rabbis see what's happening, and there's no need for me to add my own protest. So that is the question. The answer, you can see we have a long answer marking, Omer of Nachman, Ta Shma. We have a Tanaic source, Bamed Bamurim, Shishneim Adukin Ba. The teaching of the Mishnah that both parties swear and it is divided, the talus is divided, that's when both were adukin bo, both were holding on to it. Aval hoisu talis yotzis mitachas yodei shel echad mehen, if the talis was in the possession of one of them. Hamotzi mechavero olav horaya. The one who is trying to extract, the one who is trying to take it away, has to bring witnesses. Hey chidomi, what are the circumstances of this source? E nemo kidekotani, if you read the source as it is, namely, someone is holding onto a talis, someone else wants to take it away, so he has to bring witnesses that it's his. Well, pshita, that's obvious. You can't claim something held by someone else as yours unless you can bring witnesses. Is that not obvious? Ela, so rather, the circumstances of this source must be something that's not quite as obvious. Ela, shetokfa echad bifanenu. Someone grabbed a talis from someone else. The original possessor initially remained silent, and then he raised his voice in protest. And under circumstances like that, so if he wants to get it back, he will have to bring witnesses that it's his. So with that, we would have settled the question raised by Rabbi Zera. However, the Gemara rejects. Lo, hacha b'mayaskinan, the source that was Rav Nachman cited, refers to different circumstances. You'll notice we have a long marking. We call this doche, a rejection of the answer. And you'll see that we have numbers 1 and 2. We'll say there are two ways of rejecting what Rav Nachman was trying to answer. So, the first approach, hacha b'mayaskinan, kagon de osu lekamon kidetfisu lo travayo. The talis came to our presence, our awareness, with two people holding onto it. The amrinon luhu zilu plogu, and we told them split it. Finafku, they went out. Vahodar osu ki tofis lo chad minayu, and they came back with one person holding the entire talis. Hi, Omar. Odoye odile. So he claims that the other party conceded to him that it's his. But hi, Omar. The other fellow says, I didn't concede that the talis is his. Rather, if you want to know why he is holding on to all of it, I'll tell you. Bedomi agarti nihale. I rented it to him for pay. In other words, in exchange for a rental fee. So he's using the talis. The amrinon lay, we will then tell that person who's not holding it, who's claiming that his non-holding is as a result of his renting it to the other fellow. We tell him, what kind of story is that? Ad hashto chashadet olay begazlan. Until now, initially you came in holding it along with him, claiming that it's yours. You were essentially calling the other guy a thief. Ashtam Igrisle below Sadi, and now you claim that you rented it to him without witnesses. You all of a sudden trust him, someone that just moments before you claimed was a thief. Very unlikely. Therefore, the source says that if you want to claim it is yours, you'll have to bring witnesses that it's yours. Viboyasema Kidikotani. Another approach is that you would read the source as it appears. The osu lekamon kitofis lo chad minayu. The source spoke about the talis being yotze mitachas yodei shel echad. In fact, it's held by one. He appears to be holding on to practically all of the talis. The idach misrach bo seruchi, and the other one is holding on to just the very edge of the talis. His holding on to the edge is essentially tantamount to nothing. And if he wants to lay claim to the talis, he'll have to bring witnesses. V'afilu l'sumchis, d'yomar momen amuto b'sofik cholkin b'loy shvua, even according to sumchis that we saw at the beginning of our masechta, that holds that if you have momon that is lying in a state of doubt as to who the owner is, it is divided even without an oath. That is true in the case that Sumchus was addressing. The case with an ox that gored a cow, and after the goring a fetus miscarriage was found by the cow's side, and we don't know if the miscarriage was a result of the actual goring or the cow miscarried moments before the goring. That's a real doubt, and Sumchus says concerning a case like that, we'll divide the value of the miscarriage between the two of them, and the owner of the ox will have to pay half of that value. That is where you have a real doubt. Maide Sumchus, however, Sumchus will concede the sarcha lav klum hi. Holding on to the simple edge of the garment is not a is not grounds for establishing even a doubt as to who the owner is. As you can see, we have a period, a full stop, because what follows is really a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, and we indicate that this topic goes till Daf Zayin Omid Aleph. It's a rather long discussion, and it reads as follows: Higdisha below Tokfa. Someone declares as sanctified, hektish, an item that he is not in possession of, he hasn't grabbed it yet, yet he declares it sanctified. But Omid Beis, Musker, on Omid Beis, we will make mention of a very famous sugya of Tokfa Kayin. We're not going to elaborate on that at this early point, but we simply felt that it's worth noting that the that well-known discussion known as Tokfa Kohen appears as part of this sugya. Under the Mivneh, the structural note, we have a diamond highlighting the expression Imtim Tzilomar, and that will become apparent as we go into the Gemara now. Im Tinsilomar Tokfa Echod Bifonenu Moitzian Oisa Miyadoi. If you take the approach, in the case of Tokfa Echod Bifonenu that Rabbi Zera had raised before, we explained the circumstances where that initially the original party remained silent. After a while, he spoke up. We attempted to answer that, but we didn't come up with a real answer, so there's room to deliberate. If you say that in the case of Tokfa Echod Bifonenu, we would extract it, we would remove it, take it away from him, then Hikdisha Eino Mikudeshes. If the individual would have sanctified it without grabbing it, then certainly it will not become sanctified. One could not even entertain the possibility that a verbal sanctification would be stronger, legally speaking, than grabbing it. So if you say that by grabbing it you won't be able to hold on to it, then certainly your attempt to sanctify it without having grabbed it will not get off the ground. It will not be sanctified. However, in Tim Tzelomar Tog for Echad Bifonenu Ein Motzien Osa Miyado, if you take the approach that grabbing it, as we described above in Rabbi Zera's question, would result in our leaving it in his possession, the emphasis then would be that the initial silence is really, they will say, the problem for the original possessor of it. So if you say that by grabbing it under those circumstances, he would, the grabber would retain possession of it, retain ownership of it, what would the din be if he were to sanctify it without going through the actual motion of grabbing it? Now we'll hear two sides of analysis. On the one hand, Kevon de Omar Mar, it has been said, Ami Rosel Gavokas Kemesi Rosel Hedio Domi Kemando Tokfa Domi. There is a concept that if one verbally sanctifies his own item, that is like a physical transaction between two commoners. So that your verbal declaration heavenwards is like a physical change of ownership between two commoners. In this case, your verbal declaration is granting ownership of the item that you are sanctifying to the Beis HaMikdash. So according to that approach, that Amiroso L'Gavoa, the verbal sanctification, is tantamount to a physical transaction, Kemesiroso L'Hedyota, the giving over of the item, transferring ownership to a commoner, then Keman D'Tokva Domi, then your verbal sanctification without having grabbed it is like grabbing it. And the practical result would be that the sanctification takes hold. Just like by grabbing, we would leave it in your possession, your verbal sanctification without actually having grabbed it would be the same. Dilma, or maybe. Hashtomiyaha lo tokfa. In the meantime, he hasn't grabbed it. He simply sanctified. Once again, sanctifying something that had he grabbed it, he would be able to retain it. In the meantime, though, he hasn't grabbed it. Uksiv v'ish kiyaktish is basic kodesh v'chulei. The pasuk that speaks about sanctification refers to a person sanctifying his house. Ma beso b'shu. So just like his house is something that he is in possession of, I've called b'shu so, so to anything that you're in actual possession of, you can sanctify. As the pasuk indicated, kiyakdish, something that you sanctify. La fukeha delo b'shu so, to the exclusion of this case, namely someone who sanctifies something that's not in his possession. It's currently held by someone else. So what is the din of declared sanctity without actually having grabbed the item? Ta Shema. Now, structurally, it's quite important to note that we have a long marking that we're starting here, and this will take you down till two-fifths of the way down the from the top of Omid Beis. It's essentially one, it's a piece of Gemara that's brought here to answer this question. Once again, someone who's makdish an item without going through the physical tokva motion, the grabbing act. Toshma, so we try to bring a proof or an answer to this question from a story. Dahi Masuta. We're continuing at the top of Omid Beis. Masuta. There was a bathhouse. We've used a firebox around Masuta. As you can see, this becomes the focus of the Gemara even on to the next Omid. The Gemara will make reference to this particular case. On Zion Omid Aleph. There was a bathhouse. Dahavu Minsu Alo Beitrei. Were two parties arguing over ownership. Hayomar didihu, v'hayomar didihu. Each one was claiming that it is mine. Kom chabinai, one of them arose. Akdisha. Now, we've dashed on Akdisha because this is the focus of our discussion. One of them sanctified the bathhouse. And parshimino Rabbi Chananya, Rabbi Shaya, v'kul rabbonin. And from that point on, Rabbi Chananya, Rabbi Shaya, and all the other rabbis distance themselves from use of that bathhouse. In other words, they didn't go in there anymore. Once it's been declared sanctified, you cannot derive personal benefit from it. The Omar le Rav Hoshaya le Rabo, ki azlus kamei de Rav Chisda le Kafri bo'i minei. Rav Hoshaya said to Rabo, when you are on your way to visit Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda, who lives in a place called Kafri, so present this issue to him. He also, Lesura, when Rabba, who was, as we said, on his way to Rav Chisda, but when he reached Sura, which is a location that one would reach from where Rabba was starting out, he would reach Sura before getting to Kafri. So when he got to Sura, Omar le Rav Hamnuna, Masnisenhi, Rav Hamnuna says to Rabba that the issue you are raising regarding the bathhouse and the sanctification done by one of the partners, one of the contestants, his sanctification, does it take hold or not? The answer is in a Mishnah. We have a Tanaic source. Do note, by the way, that this is a long marking. Before we continue with the Gemara, let us take a look at our Mivneh, our structural note. On the side, you see a triangle featured in two different directions. The triangle point facing up, tshuva, represents an answer. We raised an issue concerning the masuta and the status of the hektish that one of the two parties announced. And we attempt to give an answer. You'll see Rav Hamnuna tries to answer, and he answers it from a source concerning Sofek Bechoros, a doubt concerning a first matter of a firstborn. The firstborn kosher variety male animal is given to the Kohen. A firstborn human male birth is redeemed, and the money, the five pieces of silver, are given to a Kohen. A firstborn donkey is redeemed, and its sanctity is transferred onto a sheep, which is given to a Kohen. The source that we will see deals with a doubt concerning Bechoros. The nature of the doubt will be featured later in the Gemara, be elaborated on later in the Gemara, I should say. For our purposes, though, there's a matter of doubt concerning the Bechor, and from a halacha within the source that Rav Hamnuna introduces, he will try to conclude that the sanctification takes effect even without the actual grabbing of the item. That's Rav Hamnuna's direction. On Daf Zayin Omid Aleph, we will notice a house marking in an inverted form, where the direction is the opposite, where the conclusion will be that the sanctification does not take hold. Now we turn to the Gemara. The question already has been presented on our part a couple of times. What about that sanctification? So in the Gemara we see, ki osa l'surah, Amar Lei Rav Hamnuna, when Rabba arrived in Surah. We mentioned earlier that was on his, that Surah was a location on his way to Kafri, where the question was originally supposed to be presented to Rav Chisda. Nevertheless, Rav Hamnuna answers, Masnisani, by declaring, this is the resolution is found in a Tanaic source. Sofek Bechoros, a matter of doubt concerning the topic of Bechor. Echad Bechor Odom, whether it be a doubt concerning the need to redeem a firstborn child, Echad Bechor Behemo, or a doubt concerning a firstborn animal, Bein Tahurin, Bein Tamein, whether it be kosher variety animals, that the animal itself would be given to a Kohen and he would offer it as a sacrifice, or Tamayim, it's an issue of doubt concerning a firstborn donkey, which, as we mentioned before, is redeemed onto a sheep, which would be then given to a Kohen. Hamotzi mechaveroi olav haraya. Translated, that means that he who tries to take it away from his friend, from his fellow man, he who wants to take it away would have to bring proof. Now the thinking at this point is, we mentioned a matter of doubt concerning a Bechor. This topic, the thinking is, includes a case where a Kohen grabbed the Bechor, claiming that it is a firstborn. We're saying that the issue comes to us as a doubt. The Kohen grabs it, claiming this is definitely a firstborn, and therefore it's mine. And he grabs it. And by grabbing it, we would say ein motzi'in miyado. We don't take it away from him. Rather, if you want to get it back from the Kohen, you want to extract it from the Kohen, we apply the rule hamotzi mechaveroi olav haraya. So that The thinking right now is that this source includes a scenario where if the Kohen would grab it, ein motzin miyada, we would not take it away from him. This, it's important to note that this is the topic we introduced with the second diamond, five lines from the bottom of Omid Aleph. And now, let's continue in the source. The Tani Allah, and concerning this, the Sofek Bukharos, it says, Asurin Begizo Ubavoda. It would be forbidden to shear or work with these animals on the grounds that a Bechor, a firstborn animal, has sanctity. You cannot shear it and benefit from its wool, nor can you plow with it, work with it as an animal of work. Vehahacha, de'omar tokfei kohen ein motzien oisa miyado. Here we have, in this source, if you read between the lines, so to speak, if the Kohen would have grabbed it, we wouldn't have taken it away from him. Dikotoni, and how do I see that in the source? Because it says, Hamotzi mechaveroi olov horaya. He who wants to take it away from whoever's holding on to it, he would have to bring a proof. He'd have to bring witnesses to support his claim. So that when we say Hamotzi mechavero, we're including the scenario where a Kohen had grabbed it, had taken possession of it, and now the original owner wants to get it away from the Kohen, wants to take it back. Well, we say, if you want to take it back, you have to bring a proof. You have to bring proof that it's not a Bechor, that it's not a firstborn, and that you have it, that you have rights to it. So we have a case of Tokfoi, Ein Motzien Miyado, V'chilo Tokfo, and even if the Kohen did not actually grab it, Asur Begizu Bavoda. It says in this source that it's treated with sanctity. The sanctity characteristic of sanctified animals where you cannot shear them, you cannot work with them. This is Rav Hamnuna's proof that Hekdesha Mikudeshes, that even if you didn't grab the item, you have the power of declaring it as sanctified. Once again, if we hold that by grabbing it, you would be able to retain it, even if you don't grab it, your verbal declaration of sanctity is tantamount to grabbing. Amirosa l'gavoa k'misirosa l'hegyot, as we saw before. And your sanctification will take hold. And with that, then, the two parties arguing over the masut of the bathhouse, and one of the parties initiating a sanctification, the sanctification would take hold. Omar le Rabba. The inverted triangle indicates a rejection. And you notice that this is a long marking we have. Omar le Rabba. Rabba says, are you trying to conclude, you Rav Hamnuna, are trying to conclude the matter of the bathhouse from the halacha concerning firstborns? Kedushas Bechor Ko Amris. Are you saying your proof from the case of sanctity of firstborn? It's like it's apples and oranges. It's a different realm. You can't conclude from the laws regarding firstborn. I will tell you that in general, if a Kohen were to grab it, we would take it away from him. Even with his inability to retain it, Asurin Begiza Ubavoda, they would still be prohibited in shearing and working with it. De Kedusha Habo Me'aleo Shiny. Automatic sanctity, which is characteristic of a firstborn, is different. That, we'll say, is a stronger form of sanctification, which causes the prohibition of working with it, independent of whether grabbing entitles you to retain it or not. So that when you're dealing with Kedushas Bechor and the Halacha of Asur Begiz Avoda, that sheds no light on sanctification of a bathhouse to the temple treasury fund, which is not kedusha habom elov. It's kedusha that you created, that you imposed. And in such a case, it might very well be that such sanctity does not take hold. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section, and we have a note, a starred note. First, take note of how long the bracketed section is. It takes you all the way down the top several lines of Zayin Omed Aleph. So on the side of the Gemara, we note as follows. So, Grayim L'Shem Dilug. The brackets are for initial skipping purposes. Ad Achshav HaGemar Nisto L'Fshoit Sheila Samasuto. Avaloloi Hatzlocha. Up till now, the Gemara tried to resolve the issue of the bathhouse, but without success. Achrea Sugrayim, after the bracketed section, HaGemara Mamshicha L'Hasik Maskono L'Gabi Amasuta. The Gemara continues trying to resolve the issue of the bathhouse. B'socha Sugrayim, within the brackets, Rav Chananya Menase L'Hovi Siwa L'Rabo. Rav Chananya will try to support Rabo. Degabi Sofek Bechiros Itakfu Kayin Moitzim Yado. Regarding the matter of Sofek Bechor, if the Kohen would have taken possession of it, would have grabbed it, we would have, like Rabo says, we would have taken it away from him. So within the brackets, Rav Chananya tries to support Rabo. Abaye will try to deflect what Rav Chananya says, but in the continuation of the Gemara, Abai himself reverses his position to assume the direction taken by Rav Chananya with the support to Rabob that Tokfei Kayin Moitzin Osamyado had the Kohen grabbed a Sofek Bechor, claiming that it's his, that it's a firstborn and it's to be offered as a sacrifice, we would take it away from him. That whole discussion is part of the bracketed section. And as we said, if you skip the brackets, if we do so momentarily, you'll get a feel of the Gemara structure. After the brackets on Zayin Omed Aleph, the notice that just as we mentioned before, you have to drop down around close to 10 lines down from the top. There the Gemara says, "My havi alo de masuta." What is the ruling with regard to the masuta that they were fighting over? And you can see we have a toshma in an inverted house. And on the side of the Gemara there on Dav Zayin Omed Aleph, we indicate Kivun Hafuch Mirav Hamnuna, a direction that's the opposite of Rav Hamnuna, B'yomad HaKedem, from Rav Hamnuna that appeared on Vav Omed Beis, Lifshot Sheilas Amasuta, in order to conclude the matter of the Masuta, where the conclusion will be at that point that the Hekdesh is Einoi Kadosh, does not take hold. Let us turn back to the Gemara where we left off, the long bracketed section, and continue. On the side, we have a subtopic heading, because everything that's contained besocha sugrayim is a subtopic. Nisoyon lahavi siwa l'shitas rabo, an attempt to bring a support to rabo, the tokfakein mesin miyodo, that if the Kohen were to grab it, we would extract it from him. And the proof to Rabbah Meha, the Sofek Becharos Nichnosin Lezaser. The Gemara will introduce a Tanaic source that describes Sofek Becharos, a matter of doubt concerning Bechor, and where we haven't explained what the doubt is. The doubt in this particular source, but there's a doubt concerning the matter of Bechor, and we will see Nichnosin Lisaser. Nichnosin Lahas, what does Lisaser mean? Meiser Behema. What's Meiser Behema? A person that owns a flock of sheep or a herd of cows. Every given year, all the firstborns, all the new births, not first births, the new births, all of the new births are gathered together and passed through a narrow passageway, and they're counted off 1 through 10, and the 10th animal that passes through the narrow passageway is painted with a red paint and declared Meiser Behema. The Meiser Behema, the tenth animal, is brought by the owner of the animals. It's not given away. It's brought by the owner of the animals as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. And it thereby, we'll say, is matir, relieves from any further obligation the other animals that were born that year. So it's a 10% tithe of every year animal births. The point we just made is that the counting of the tenth animal, the tithing of the tenth animal, relieves you of any further tithing obligations, is a significant point of law. And let's restate that, or state that in a slightly different fashion, is as follows. You're dealing with an obligation that you have. You cannot pay your obligations with money or items that belong to someone else. If you're able to relieve yourself of obligations, that indicates that it is yours. The source we're about to read describes Sfeikos, a matter of doubt concerning Bechor, that those animals are passed through the narrow passageway and counted 1 through 10, and the owner of those animals thereby fulfills his obligation. What does that show us about the matter of Safek Bechor? The Gemara will say that shows us that if a Kohen were to grab the Safek Bechor, once again, we haven't explained what the nature of the doubt is. But suffice it to say that if a Kohen, in grabbing it, would be entitled to keep it, how can we teach you that the Sfeikos are part of Meiser Behema, that he uses them, or they are, we'll say, they participate in the tithing process? Because if you were to say that the Kohen, by grabbing it, would be able to keep it, you're in effect relieving yourself of tithing obligations through something that's potentially someone else's. That's something that we would call Mamoine Shokayin. So the fact that you can use the Meiser Behema that is connected to a doubt regarding Bechoros, it shows us that the doubt of Bechoros has no ownership connection to a Kohen. What did Rabbo say? Rabbo said that in general, Tokfoy Kohen, if a Kohen would grab something that he thinks is his, we would not allow him to keep it. And that reasoning or that approach makes a lot of sense in light of this Tanaic source that says you are mafrish Meiser Behema from Sfeikos. We'll now read Rav Hananya's point in the Gemara text, and then we'll glance at the Rashi. The Rashi, he reveals to us what the Sofek is, what the issue of doubt is, based on the Gemara itself that appears on the top of Daf Zayin Omid Aleph, where the Gemara on the fourth line from the top says, "My Sfeikos, what's the nature of the Sofek that you're dealing with over here?" So there, the Gemara will tell us several lines later that it involves a Yisrael that has 10 doubtful firstborn donkeys. And what the Yisrael does, he redeems them onto sheep. The redemption of the 10 donkeys, firstborn donkeys, onto sheep relieves the donkeys of any sanctity. The sanctity that they may have had, which would have prevented you from benefiting from those donkeys, that sanctity is transferred to these sheep. So you have 10 sheep that have a suffolk pidyon peter chamor status. And those 10 sheep are going to be tithed. And the owner keeps them. There's no giving to a Kohen. Now the Gemara, in the brackets. Omar le Rav Chananya le Rabo. Tanya de Messiah Aloch. I have a brisa that supports you regarding your point that Sofek Bechoros, if the Kohen would have grabbed it, we would have taken it away from the Kohen. Showing that the Kohen has no ownership over it. What does it say in the Tanaic source? Hasfekais nichnosin ledir lisaser. The doubtful ones, we mentioned before, and we'll see this shortly in Rashi, are passed through the narrow passageway for tithing purposes. The If you were to take the stance that a Kohen who grabs it, we would leave it in his possession, that he would be considered the owner of it. How can we say that they are passed through the deer, the corral, narrow passageway for tithing? It would be that you are then relieving yourself of tithing obligations through an animal that belongs to a kohen, at least in potential, and you can't fulfill your obligations, your debts, through someone else's money, through someone else's possessions. So from the fact that nifnosen ledir l'aser, that shows us tukfakain motzien isoi miyoto, like Rabba said. Now we look at Rashi together. The Rashi that we're going to look at is several lines down from here. De Messiah Loch, the Gabi Sofek Bechoros, im Tokfakain Motsiyan Miyodo, that in the realm of doubt concerning a Bechor, if the Kohen were to take it, we would take it away from him. That's what Rabba said. This Rashi goes on, Hasfekos, Lekamen Meforish, later, the Gemara will explain, we pointed out, the top of Dav Zayin Omer Aleph, the Sofek Pidyon Peter Hamor, regarding a doubt of a redemption of a firstborn donkey. The mafreshalov tle lafkuyi sura v'hu liatzmo. A firstborn donkey, when there's no issue of doubt, is redeemed upon a tle, a lamb or a sheep, and that sheep is given to the kohen. What does redeeming the donkey accomplish? Lafkuyi sura means to remove the prohibition that exists on a firstborn donkey. When you redeem it, you can then use the donkey for your own purposes, while the redeemed animal, the animal that was used for the redemption, is given to a kohen. Here we're dealing with a firstborn donkey, but maybe it's a firstborn. We don't know. There's a doubt. So we're told that you redeem it onto a sheep to remove any possible restriction. V'huli atzmo. And you keep the sheep. The owner, the non-kohen, the owner keeps the sheep. She'ein sorch litno l'kohen. He doesn't have to give it to a kohen. Shamotzi mechaber lo v'raya. If the kohen were want to claim it, he would have to bring proof that the donkey born was in fact a real firstborn. Upidyon peter chamor bar isurihu. The redemption, that sheep upon which that was used for the redemption is subject to tithing. Im yesh l'kayin esa asara pitre chamorav shenavlo mi beis avi imo Yisrael. If a kohen had, for example, if he had 10 firstborn donkeys that he inherited from his maternal grandfather, a Yisrael, a non-kohen, mafrish aleihem asara sayin, the Kohen, grandson, would set aside 10 sheep. And those 10 sheep would serve as the redemption of the firstborn donkeys that he inherited. Umaasron, he would tithe those sheep. He had 10 sheep that he set aside, and assuming they were all born that year, he would then send them through the narrow passageway, counting them 1 through 10. The 10th one declared as Miser, Vehain Shiloh, and he keeps them. Hilkoch, Sofek Pidyon Peter Hamor B'yad Yisrael, the animal that was used to redeem a doubtful firstborn donkey. Those animals, Nichnos Ladir im Shar Tloim, if a Yisrael had this situation, before we describe the maternal grandfather of the Kohen, who died, leaving the Kohen to inherit him, but assuming that the Yisrael did not die, what would he do? He would set aside 10 sheep, and if they were 10 sheep born that year, he would use them to redeem the 10 doubtful firstborn donkeys. They would be tithed im shar tloim shelo lisaser, with the other sheep that he has that were born that year. He might have hundreds of sheep that were born that year. These sheep that were used to redeem the doubtful firstborn donkeys would join together with the rest of them in the tithing. The inafko basiri lepok, and if it comes out, one of those sheep that was used to redeem the sofek pityon peter hamor would come out as the number 10, so be it. He is able, through that animal that was used to redeem the sofek peter hamor, as the Meiser Behema, thereby relieving the other animals that already walked through the corral as being exempted from any further tithing. Rashi continues, V'isaka daitach yesh l'kayin tzad zechiyo bo, if you were to think that a Kohen has some element of potential ownership in Sofek Bechor, nimso zeh im yotzeh ba'asiri, would turn out then that if the 10th animal that went through the corral in the above case turned out to be one of those sheep used to redeem the Sofek Petach Hamor, the owner here, the Yisrael, is poter momona b'momona shel kohen. He's relieving himself of a Meiser Behema obligation through an animal that belongs to a kohen. So what does it show us? It shows us that the kohen has no ownership in it. And if he were to grab it from the Yisrael, motzino semiyada, we would take it away from him. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Omar le Abaye. Notice we have a diamond. The bottom of the diamond is shaded in, indicating a rejection of what Rav Hananya said. Yimishum ha lo tesaye lemor. Abaye addresses Rav Hananya and says, if it's your source that you're attempting to bring a support to Mor is Rabo. It's not a support. It's low to say you cannot bring a support to Rabbah. Hacha v'mayaskinon. Abaye says, here in the Sfeikas Nichnosin Lidus Aser, what are we talking about? Kegoin de lesle elotisha v'hu. The owner has only 9 other animals and v'hu, and the doubt, and the animal that was used to redeem the doubtful Bechor. So, how many firstborn animals does he have? He has a total of 10. 9 plus this one. The Monafshach. Either way you look at things. This bow tie marking is used to highlight the expression the Monafshach, as you will see this concept cited later as well. Either way you look at things, says Abaye, I bar chiyuvahu shapir kom aser. If the animal and the owner, let's say the owner, if he is in fact obligated to tithe, I didn't mention, but when you have only 9 animals born that year, there's no Meiser Behema obligation. This fellow has 9 plus an animal that was used to redeem a Safek Bechor. Imagine for a moment that that donkey was not a firstborn, and then the redemption was not a redemption. And the sheep that was set aside to redeem the Safek is really a regular, chulin, mundane, common sheep because the original donkey birth was not a firstborn birth. If that be the case, then this owner of the 10 animals is a bar chiyuvo. He's obligated in tithing. So then, let's read that again. E bar chiyuvahu, shapir kol maaser. Then the tithing that he does is a good tithing. Even if that animal that was used to redeem comes out as number 10, but it wasn't needed for redemption because the donkey, in fact, wasn't a firstborn. We said it was a suffix on the side that it wasn't a firstborn. So this sheep coming out as number 10 is a good, reasonable form of tithing. It's a person tithing, relieving himself of the tithe with his own animal. It's all mundane. Ilav bar chiyuvahu. If the owner is not obligated to tithe, why? Because that animal that came out as number 10 was a sheep used to redeem what in fact was a real firstborn donkey. Oh, a real firstborn donkey? That's something that the Kohen, in fact, might, yes, have. He has license to it. Contrary to what Rabbo said. If the Kohen would have grabbed it, he would have kept it. Well, but how many animals does the owner have? The owner, in this case, has only 9 animals. So if the owner is a lav bar chiyuvahu, tisha lav bar asuri ninu. The 9 other animals that he has aren't subject to tithing anyway. So Abaye says that the case of Sveikis Nichnosin Ladir Lizasir is referring to a very specific situation where the owner had only 9 other animals. You have nothing to lose by going through the Meiser Behema process here. If the animal, the sheep, was used to redeem a non-Peter Hamor, so that sheep comes out as number 10, that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to do Meiser Behema, and it's a reasonable Meiser Behema with a sheep that has no connection to the Kayin. And if the firstborn donkey was a real firstborn donkey, and this sheep was used for redemption, and as far as Abaye is concerned, the Kayin has a holding on it. If he were to grab it, he would be able to keep it. That doesn't upset the source that says they go through for Meiser purposes, because the owner here has only 9 other animals, and 9 animals aren't subject to tithing to begin with. Hodar Omar Abaye. And now Abaye does a turnabout. Lav Milso Hi Diamri. What I said is inaccurate. But rather, what Rav Hananya did at the beginning of this section, by citing that source of Sveikas Nechosin Ladir Saser, is in fact a support to Rabo. That, namely, that the Kayin has no holding in it. Abaye goes on to say, the Sveika Lav Bar Asuri He. Even if you have the possibility of saying Mimonafshach, the 9 plus 1 that Abaye mentioned before, you wouldn't even start the tithing process. You do not use a suffix, an animal that's shrouded in doubt, to exempt other animals that are obligated in tithing, in Meiser Behema. So therefore, if you say that Sveikas Nichnosen Ladir Lesaser, that indicates in no uncertain terms that the Kohen has absolutely no holding on it. Let us look at Rashi together on this point. The Rashi that we're looking at is in the medium length lines under the Gemara text, about halfway down that section of Rashi, we say opposite the Tosfos, the last Tosfos on the page, Lefotroi, Rashi there says, Lav Milsa Hidyamri. Here Abaye is making his turnaround to now agree with Rav Hananya's approach. Devadai Siato Hi Lamor. The source of Sfeikis Nichnosin Ledilis Asir is definitely a support to Rabbah. Rabbah, who said that Tokfei Kayin Motsiyim Yodo, indicating that the Kayin has no holding on the Sofek Bechor. De'i Havitzad Zichia LeKayin Bey Misofek. If the Kayin had some claim on it from doubt, V'shtakach D'cholhani Tloyim. The result of that would be that all of these sheep, Sofek Chayovin B'maisu Sofek Ein Chayovin, on the grounds that the Meiser, the Sofek Peter Chamor, the doubtful donkey birth was not a firstborn birth, the redemption then would have been a non-redemption, then that would create a chiyuv meiser, that the animals would have to be tithed because they're all mundane. Sofek ein chayoven, of the animals that are there, nine of them are his own animals, and the tenth animal was used to redeem what might, yes, have been a definite donkey first birth. So those animals are not chayav in meiser behema, because he has only nine common animals. The tenth was an animal used to redeem a firstborn donkey. Any situation like that, where it's sofek chayavin b'meiser, sofek ein chayavin, misfeko lo havet sorech la'asurinu kideko amri, la'asure mimonafshach. There would have been no tithing on the grounds of, why not tithe? You've got nothing to lose. A suggestion before, where we had the bow tie, where we saw, why not tithe mimonafshach? Well, we wouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have said that. The kol safek chayav safek potter, wherever you have a case like that, maybe yes, chayav in meiser behemo, maybe not. Lav b'nei asurinu. We don't even start the process. V'afilu hecho de'iko lemeimar mimonafshach. Even under circumstances where we say, where you could have said, why not tithe either way? So to state this in a terse fashion, where there's a suffek chiyuv meiser behema, you don't even get started. We saw sfeikos nichnosin ledir l'saser. What does that show us? It shows us that had the kohen tried to grab the animal used to redeem the sofek petach hamor, we'd have taken away from the kohen. The kohen has no claim on it. So as far as we are concerned, it belongs exclusively to the Yisrael, and therefore it's considered part of all of his other newborn animals of that year, and hence subject to Meiser Behema. Because if the Kohen grabbing it would have entitled him to keep it, then there would have been a doubt whether this fellow needs to tithe his animals, and in a case like that, so we wouldn't have even started the tithing process. Abaye proves his point now from a Tanaic source. Abaye said that if you have a suffix whether there's an obligation to tithe or not, we don't tithe at all. Disnan. This source says, Kofatz echod min haminuyin l'seichon kulam turin. Imagine a man had many, many animals, many hundreds of newborn animals of that year. And he starts counting them in anticipation of reaching number 10. So he counts 1, 2, 3, 4, and before he reaches number 10, one of those animals that he counted already jumps back into the the large corral where all of the animals are housed. The animal that jumped back in was Manui. It was already counted in anticipation of reaching number 10. That animal causes a very dramatic change in events. That animal causes exemption from continuing any further tithing of those animals. They're all exempt. The basis of that particular teaching is founded upon a pasuk, and if we look together in Rashi for the background on this halacha, we look at Rashi, second to last of the medium-sized lines, Kofas Zechad Minuyin, Uyamasir Tloim, a man was involved with tithing his sheep, Vehischilimnois, and he started counting, Kishoyotzim Bepesach Adir, as they were walking through the exit, passing through the exit of the corral. Vyachilo Igil Asora, and before he reached number 10, Kofatz Echod Minamnuyan, Lesoch Adir Veino Makiro, it jumped back into the as yet uncounted animals, and he doesn't recognize which animal it is. Kulam Turin, all of the animals are exempt. Beinoisen Shiotsu, whether it be the animals that already passed through the corral, passed through the narrow passageway, Bein Oisun Sheba Toch Adir Mafilu Hein Elef, whether it be the animals that have not yet been counted, even if there are 1,000 of them. Shiyaksub Turin Mishum Minyan Horoi, those that had passed through already as you were counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, each one of those is exempted in anticipation of reaching number 10. We skip to the end of the line where we have the we have this line bracketed off. The end of the line, we continue V'oysen Shibasochadir Pturin Mishum Zeha Mu'urov. So we've Rashi points out that those that were already passed through that were counted already. Now let's continue with the bracketed section that we skipped. The Shekeshemonon Hoyaminyan Roy Lahashlim Velovoy Lichlal Meiser. As he was counting initially, it was anticipated that he would reach number 10. From Yunir B'Bechoros, and we say in the tractate called Bechoros, V'hochi Maisin in law, Minyan Haroi Poter, a minyan, a counting, that's Roy, that's fit to reach 10. Basic counting that you did is reason for exempting from tithing. V'oysen Shibasoch Hadir, Pturin Mishum Zeham Urov. And those that remain back in the crowd that haven't been counted yet are also exempted because of that one that's mixed amongst them. The Pasuk says, the Chol Asher Yavor Tachas HaShevet Om Rachmona. The Pasuk speaks about tithing animals that are going to pass under the Shevet as the counting rod that is used as the animals pass through. That's what the Torah says needs to be tithed. V'lo She'ovar Kvar, not an animal that has already been counted, that's already passed under the shaven, under the counting rod. V'chol chad minayu, and each one of those 1,000 animals that are left back in the corral, sofek kvar ovar hu, any given one is a doubt. Maybe this is the one that already passed through, and that now jump back, but we don't know which one it is. That's the source that Abaye cites. Now we continue in the Gemara, 4 lines from the bottom. If you were to think that where there is doubt as to whether there is a need for tithing or not, do it anyway. Well, in this very case of why not tithe? Either way, you've got nothing to lose. If the animal that comes out is number 10 is not the animal that had jumped back into the group, then shop your master, then your tithing is a good tithing. And if it's not chayav in tithing, namely it's the animal that had originally jumped back in, the other animals, though, niftar b'minyan haroi. the other animals are exempted by virtue of the fact that while you were counting them, a tenth regular animal could have appeared. The Omar Rabo Minyan Haroi Poter. The mere fact that an animal was counted in anticipation of reaching a legitimate number 10, that itself exempts. And Ella, we continue at the top of Dav Zion. Ella, my isloch lemeimar. What do you have to say, therefore, in explanation of the source of Kofetz Echam and Mirin, the Sochem Kulam Turin? Why are they all potter? Why not do the tithing Mimonavshach? As we said, you've got nothing to lose. Why don't we go through the process? Answer: Asiri Vadai Oma Rachmona. When the Torah speaks about a tenth animal, it speaks about a tenth animal that definitely needs to be tithed. It's definitely appropriate for tithing. Velo Asiri Safek. Hachanami. Here too, in the case of someone that had nine animals, and the tenth one being the sheep used to redeem the Sofek Petach Hamor. Here too, there's not going to be any tithing Mimonavshach. We're not going to say tithe, you've got nothing to lose. You wouldn't even start the process. Because Asiri Vadai Omer Achmona Velo Asiri Sofek. Ah, if you say, like it said, that Sveika is Nichnosin Ladir is Aser, and we said that that suffix was, as the Gemara will explain very shortly, the case of the animal used to redeem a suffix firstborn donkey. Oh, that shows us that animal had a Kohen grabbed it, claiming it to be his, as an animal that was used to redeem a real firstborn donkey. We would take it away from him. That shows us that the Kohen has no... the fact that we say that those sveikos or nifnosin ladir shows that the Kohen has no holding on it. Because had the Kohen had a holding on it, then it would have been something that we would classify as sofek chayav, sofek not chayav in meiser behema. And we wouldn't have even started the meiser process. Omer le Rav Acho midifti le Ravina. My sveikos. We've been referring to the sveikos nichnosin ladir lisaser all along the Gemara, and I know we've already explained it. We learned the Rashi before. Here the Gemara is asking what is referred to by sveikos. Ilemo sofek bechoros. If the sveikos are animals that are possibly firstborn sheep, firstborn calves. Well, you wouldn't have said regarding them nifnosin ladir lezaser. Why? If it's sofek b'choros yia kodesh omar rachmona velo shekvar kodesh. Regarding meiser behema, it says that the tenth animal will be kodesh, will become sanctified. It's something that hasn't been sanctified and will become sanctified now as being labeled number 10. That is to the exclusion of a firstborn. A firstborn is an animal that automatically gains its kedusha by being a firstborn. So even if you had a doubt of that nature, a doubt is maybe this itself is an actual firstborn, you wouldn't have subjected it to Meiser Behema. Ella, so what's the suffix that the source says is Nichnosin Ladir Lesaser? It's a suffix Pidyon Petach Hamor. As we mentioned earlier, it was an animal that in itself is not a firstborn. It's an animal that was used, it's a sheep that was used to redeem a suffek firstborn donkey, a doubtful firstborn donkey. Huchda Rav Nachmon. Di Omer Rav Nachmon Omer Rabba Bar Avua. Yisrael Sheyesh Lo Asorah Suffek Pitrei Chamor Besoch Beso. A Yisrael, a non-Kohen, he has 10 suffek firstborn donkeys. Maybe each one, he doesn't know whether this is an actual firstborn donkey. So he's got 10 of these doubtful ones in his house. Mafrishalei Masora saying he sets aside 10 sheep to use for redemption, to remove the ritual prohibition, the Isur, from upon them, from upon the donkeys. The Isur is removed. Umaasron, and he tithes those sheep that he used for this redemption of the Sofek Petach Hamor Bein Shelo, and he retains ownership of them. I know we went over the structure of the Gemara before, but it's been a while. You notice we've come to the end of a bracketed section. Before the bracketed section, an issue came up where a masuta, a bathhouse, figured in the discussion, where we raised the question, what would be the din if you hold Takfai Kayen Ein Moitzien Miyodai? What would be the din if one were to sanctify something that if he had grabbed it, he would be able to retain possession of it? What is the din of his sanctifying it without having actually grabbed it? Rav Hamnuna tried to answer that the sanctity would take hold. And he tried to answer that from the fact that we saw in the case of Safek Bechoros, the prohibition of shearing them and using them for work. That was Rav Hamnuna's approach, that the sanctity takes hold. The sanctity of the party that declared the sanctity to be such, it becomes sanctified, and that bathhouse would have become sanctified. Rabbah, we saw in that discussion, deflect Rav Hamnuna's answer by saying that you're trying to bring an answer from the case of Kedushas Bechor. Kedushas Bechor is different. And that it could very well be that we'll apply the stringencies, the restrictions of Kedushas Bechor, even if we were to hold in general that Tokfai Kain Moitzina Yisrael Miyado. So at that point in the Gemara, we didn't have anything, we'll say, conclusive regarding the issue of the bathhouse. My havi Allah de masuta. What is the final ruling? How should we rule regarding that bathhouse? We had the two people fighting over it. There was not an issue of Kedushas Bechor, but someone imposed sanctity. One of the two feuding parties declared sanctity. Does that have any value? Does it become sanctified? So Toshma Yom Rav Chiya Bar Oven, Have Uvda Bei Rav Chisda. An incident of this nature took place by Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda Bei Rav Huna, and Rav Chisda took this issue to Rav Huna for resolution. Uposhta Meha Diomar Rav Nachman, and it was resolved by a teaching of Rav Nachman. Diomar Rav Nachman, Kol Mamon She'eno Yochol Lotzio B'Dayonim, Hekdeshai Eino Kadosh. Any Mamon that you will not be successful in gaining ownership through the court, if you try to sanctify that, it will not take hold. And the case of the Masuta as well, the two parties are feuding over it. It doesn't appear as a case that could be resolved through proofs. No, neither party has proof of ownership. Oh, if neither party has proof of ownership, the sanctity does not take hold. You notice we have brackets. On the side we have a note. Sograim elu einom l'shem dilug. These brackets are not for skipping purposes. In fact, after the bracketed section, a totally new discussion sets in. So why do we have brackets? Elo laharois da'atkan ha'tshuva l'masuta. Simply to point out that up till this point, we've answered the issue of the bathhouse. Namely, the hektish does not take hold. B'socha sograim ha'gmur ma'le kushya hamuvuseses al diyuk mehatshuva. Within the brackets, the Gemara raises a question based on an inference from this answer. So now let's continue with the Gemara. Ha yachal lahotzia b'dayonim. If, however, the matter concerned a feud over property that one side could have gained possession through the court, hekdesho kadosh, are you suggesting then that the sanctity would have taken hold? Now Rashi adds additional information, and that is that in a standard case of theft called stam gezela, in your standard scenario of theft, the original owner most likely could bring proof that the stolen item is his and recover it through the court. So we're inferring now that in a case like that, where it's yachol lahotzia b'dayanim, just imagine a case where an item was stolen from your possession. You own something, someone stole your item. That item is something that we could describe as something you could gain ownership through the court. Does that mean that right now that it's not in your possession, you could sanctify it? Afal gav, let's read this phrase again. Ha yochol hotzil b'dayonim hekdeshu kodesh afal gav delo afke. Had it been a case of mamon that you could have extricated through the court, your sanctity would have been legitimate, even if you didn't as yet regain possession of it. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Gozav lonis Yahshua Bailim, a case of theft where the original owner has not given up hope on. Shnehem Einom Yecholim Lagdisho, both parties, the thief and the original owner, are incapable of sanctifying it. Ze lefi sheno shelo, the thief, well, because it's not his. Ze lefi sheno b'shuso, and the original owner can't sanctify it either because it's not in his possession right now. But you said at the answer that you gave with the regard to the masuta that if it were momon that you could extricate through dayonim, you could sanctify even without having it in your possession. That runs contrary to Rav Nachman's teaching, which, by the way, is based on a pasuk. The Gemara answers, "Mi savris b'masuta mitatlin askinon." Who says that we're talking about a portable bathhouse? What's a portable bathhouse? A large, let's say, kettle that you would heat up water in and use it for bathing. B'masuta mekarkoi askinon. We're talking about a built bathhouse. It's mekarkoi, literally means it's land. It's dug. It's a pool dug into the to the earth. It's a piece of real estate. D'chiyachol otzia v'dayonim birshusei kaimo. Being that you're dealing with a piece of real estate, then there is no issue of it not being in your possession. What do we mean by that? If it's something that you could extract through the court, at the point that the court would rule that it's yours, it's yours, it's already in your possession. Therefore, if you go back to the Gemara before the brackets, we said regarding the bathhouse, if one of the parties would have sanctified it, any mamon that you could not extract through dayonim, if neither side would have been able to bring proof, so neither one would have been able to sanctify it. And what are we talking about? We're talking about a bathhouse that's a piece of real estate. If, however, one of the sides would have been able to bring proof that it's theirs, so then he would have been able to sanctify it. And if you'll ask, what about Rabbi Yochanan's teaching? that an owner of something that's stolen cannot sanctify it? Yeah, that's because when it's stolen, it's not in his possession. That even if he were to be able to bring proof through the court that it's his, he still would, it wasn't in his domain. That is true with regard to portables. But our discussion concerned a bathhouse that was real estate. And from that we inferred, had one of the sides been able to bring proof that it's his, he would have been able to sanctify it, because under circumstances like that, there was no lacking of it being eino birshusos, being it not in his domain. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.